26, 28, 30. We're just counting them up. We got them down the mountain, counting them, make sure they're all here. And then I'm just going to dose them for fluke. It's been so wet that I want to give them a quick dose for fluke.
So you've gathered them all here in the pen. And they're overlooking. I mean, we couldn't be in a more remote part of Ireland.
Yeah,
here.
No, we're way out, way off the beaten track. Yeah,
we're up the side of a mountain overlooking the Beara Peninsula.
Yeah, exactly. So the Beara's down there, and if you went up just a few metres, you could see Bantry Bay glistening in the sun. It's always sunny down there, always cloudy up here.
And the reason they are noisy, and they are very noisy, is that they want to get up to the hills.
Yeah, well, we just got them down, so they're not used to being all congregated together. So they'll be vying for sort of power. You know, when they're all in a small slot, there'll be ones that have to show they're more dominant, so they'll be chasing the other ones. So they'll calm down very quickly.
We've got around us, what, about 30 of your Dexters. They're black, and they're a kind of orangey-red colour. The one thing they are is absolutely tiny. They may sound like any other breed, but they're tiny in stature.
Yeah, I believe they're almost about the smallest cow in the world. I think there is an Indian breed that is vying for smallness, but they're tiny little things. You know, there's a 2-year-old heifer in that group whose shoulder height is somewhere between my knee and my hip.
She's an enormous dog.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This breed dates back to what, the 1750s in Ireland.
Yeah, it was created by Mr. Dexter, as I understand, who bred the native Celtic cattle with the Kerry and got the Dexter from them. The great thing about them is that they've been on this kind of terrain, this, you know, mountainous, boggy, soft ground terrain, and that's what I think he was going for. He was going for a small animal that you could put on very marginal ground, yeah, and wouldn't chop the land up.
And the land here, you see sheep.
Yeah.
But you don't really see cattle.
No, there's very few cattle up top. I think had you been here 150 years ago, you would have seen a lot more small farmsteads, and a lot of those would have had Dexters. None of the farmers keep Dexters now, but when you talk to the older farmers, they all say, oh yeah, we used to have Dexters when we were young.
And you've joined a group of other farmers, and you're actually providing beef for the restaurants and the hotels around Cork and Kerry.
There's a group of us. We've only just started 2 years ago, but we're trying to really bring back the Dexter, but also have a burger brand.
And they're so tiny. Do you get much beef off them?
About a carcass weight of between 150 and 200 kilos. From a steer, we can make roughly 600 burgers. And 600 burgers, we're selling a burger at a fiver each. So that's turning over $3,000 on the burgers.
The thing I love about Dexters is that when they calf, they hide their calf, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. They often, because they'll calf up on the pastures. They won't calf in a shed. And the calf, it's amazing. Even in a small field, they can just tuck them away and you don't find them.
They still think wolves are in Ireland. The little calf here. That really is the size of a dog.
Yeah, not even a very big dog, to be honest.
Not quite a Jack Russell, a little bit bigger than that. So up the mountain we go. They're immediately chomping on the rich grass here.
Yeah. Trying to go the wrong way if they can. There's a gate just up here we're going to open. It's open. There we go. They're all going. Here we go.
Past the stream, up the hill. Go on. And as we walk up the side of the mountain and bring these Dexters back to where they want to be, what brought you to this part of West Cork? It is so remote here.
A combination of the relaxed way of life and the people. I'm a medical doctor by training, but very early on, even in fact during my training, I got caught up in the great famine in Ethiopian Sudan in 1984-6, and I started doing famine relief, and I realised that really rocked my boat. You know, it was something so immediate. You could provide really concrete help to the most disadvantaged people in the world. I specialised in the treatment of adults on the point of death from starvation. And then the last 15 years, I've developed this new system for treating starvation at home. And the system's caught on. It's now, I think, in 55 countries in the world. Nearly 2 million children treated last year using that system.
And working also with farmers and food producers in parts of Africa to produce this nutrition.
Absolutely. Once this model caught on, there was a need for the specialised nutritional pastes that it uses. And we've started this charity that sets up factories in Africa and uses local ingredients. So it connects smallholder farmers in Africa to a value-added market.
Go on, go on, go on. Hut, 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 hut.
there they go up the hill.
Yeah, they're off. And so now I'll check on them every so often, but they'll be up there for the next 3 months.
Do you worry about them?
At the moment, the grass up the mountain is really nutritious. Generally, they'll be fine.